For joining us on this evening here on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I am blessed and encouraged on this evening, and I'm very thankful to have you listening to our program via live on Blog Talk Radio, whether you dialed in to 424-243-9617, or you're online listening, whether you're listening live or on the recording, or as I'm doing now on Facebook Live. So the program is coming to you live this evening, amen, here on the Facebook. That means you can go to Kenneth Bonnet Sr. Facebook and you will see me in the flesh, amen, as I go forward with this program on today, amen. Kirk Franklin did a song years ago called Conquerors, amen, and I was blessed by it by then. How reflection as I was thinking about things on ministering on yesterday for Sunday service. It was one of the songs that came to my mind. Not only did that song come to my mind, but it reminded me of a time that my youngest son was doing a dramatizational dance with one of my in-laws, and they put on this dance under the song called Conqueror. But I want to play that song for us today as a reminder that we are conquerors. So at this moment, we're going to pause and listen to Kirk Franklin's song called Conquerors.
Tomorrow is a brand new day. All my sins have been washed away. My hands look new. My life is free.
My life is good.
My heart is healed. I've been redeemed. Oh, yeah. See, I've seen his face.
Seen his
Amen.
Face. Touched his hand.
Yes, Lord.
Finally, now I understand.
Amen.
Why he saved the wretch.
This is why he saved the wretch.
A wretch like me.
A wretch like me.
And by his blood, I've been redeemed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
He has a breath.
Careful find.
He has a fire.
Shed our blood.
He shed
our blood. Oh, what was right?
Oh, what?
We carried our cross.
We carried our cross.
And with a yes, yes. He caught the
Christ.
Now we can say.
Now we can say.
We are conquerors.
You know I know. Thank you.
Bible for the Blind, and give us your donation information. Those of us that want to support the ministry that God is giving him.
Yes, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And the unique thing about our name is H-O-L-Y is all capital letters, and Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is in capital letters. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a ministry, a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind of not only the United States, which is the primary, but also to the whole world. And our primary outreach goal is to reaching out to the physically and spiritually blind, helping them to get the resources they need, Bibles, what have you, helping them to, for example, if someone needs to find a dog guide school, a resource of a blind school, blind camp, resources for adaptive aids, etc. That is our primary goal, but also to provide audio materials such as sermons, tracts in audio, braille, and large print, Bibles in those three formats as well, and as well as supplemental materials as well to help them grow in grace and the work of the Lord as they work in the ministry themselves, as well as the education of the church to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. And so if you'd like to help us to keep the ministry going, and we're also praying for a bus so we could go out to the blind camps and blind schools of this nation so we could reach out to the blind people that are out there, we would appreciate a love gift from you. There are several methods you can do to donate and send a love gift. First off, you could go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLYNESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Go straight down to the bottom of our webpage on the homepage there. You'll see love offerings. You click that. That is our secure PayPal button there that will allow you to use your credit card or PayPal account to give a love gift. Also, you can send a check or money order to the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. And whatever God lays upon your heart to give is greatly appreciated, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
Amen, amen, and thank you, Ms. McCann. We're praying and believing with you in faith that as God continues to bless you, that not only will he bless you to continue to do that work, but he will just definitely bless you with supporters of that vision, amen, to help keep that vision going strong. That's the thing about ministries. Every ministry has its mission statement, have its plan to reach the masses, and at all the times we need financial support. Amen. And when you are working, many ministries are independent of sometimes your bigger churches and truly rely on the donations and love offerings of those who believe also in their mission. And so once again, we want to say thank you for giving us that information throughout the year. If God will bless us, we want to be able to be committed to support and supporting that vision. And we want to encourage others to do the same. Amen. So truly we are blessed to be here on today. This is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. And I'm thankful to be here with you all today. Amen. We're going to pause for a moment of prayer. We always want to pray. I learned a long time ago, prayer is always in order. Amen. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, that is the time to pray. And sometimes when you do know what to do, that is also a time for prayer. Amen. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. Amen. And so when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we seek him first, put him first and all his righteousness, it says all these things shall be added. What faith? Everything I need to fulfill my purpose. This monthly emphasis, we are dealing with purpose. And purpose covers a multitude of things. And a lot of times when we don't understand purpose, we will abuse a thing or misuse a thing. You know, it isn't that your butter knife in the kitchen can't be used as a flathead screwdriver, but that's not the purpose of it. So you don't take your butter knife out the kitchen and put it in your toolbox. No, it may to remove a screw that has one end on that where you can just use the flat end to turn it, but that wasn't the purpose or the design for the butter knife. That butter knife was designed for cutting items that was not hard to cut, such as butter, spreading butter, jam, and other items on bread, peanut butter, or something of that nature. It was designed for something totally different. And just like we don't use one for the other, or shouldn't use one for the other, you don't go to your toolbox and take your screwdriver and say, well, I use the butter knife for in place of the screwdriver. Let me use the screwdriver in the place of the butter knife. Nah, that's not its purpose. So we don't do that. So for everything in life, there's purpose. And there's purpose for you and I. And the more we understand our purpose, the more we won't misuse ourselves. The more we won't abuse ourselves. When you don't understand your purpose, you can get strung out on drugs, alcohol, lifestyles, et cetera. And this goes on. When you don't understand the purpose of your body. And the Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what that means, you will misuse your body. Amen. And so, and you will abuse the Holy Spirit that rests within you as a born-again believer. Amen. So tonight, after prayer, I will be dealing with a unchanging God for an ever-changing world. Now, this message tonight is truly one that I could have saved for Sunday, but I was so encouraged by it as the thought came to me today. A lot of times when preachers get together, we go to talking and God go to pouring into our little minds even more and more and more and more. And as I was sharing with another preacher some of the things and desires that I have for this program and what God has given me to say to the masses, and he gave me that thought, and just the thought alone, and because he was encouraged by what I was saying, and when he said, when he made the statement about God being unchanging in a changing world, I say, yes, I'm going to use that. That'll preach all by itself. And I sat down, I said, Lord, way to start with that. And he gave it to me, and we're going to get there. Amen. And so hopefully you have your Bibles ready. Hopefully you have your pencil, your pen, and some paper or your tablet, your writing device of any kind, so that you may jot down these notes that I'll be giving you on this evening as I take my time and try to minister from the thought, a unchanging God for an ever-changing world. Amen. And that's so important because that just because the world is changing, that don't mean God has to change. If God said it then, it still is established now. Amen. Especially when it's something that is a principle of God's standing. Amen. Amen. Many times God says something for a people that for a time, scripture tells us for everything, there is a time and a season. Amen. And so, but although seasons come and go, God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. He is a loving God. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kate. Amen. Haven't seen you in a very long time. Happy New Year's to you, sir. Amen. And so we're going to pray now. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, first of all, asking you to forgive us for any sins that we may have that may hinder our prayers, whether they be sins of omission or sin by commission. God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you reveal it to us that we're doing it unknowingly, and that we are doing it in ignorance. And so, Father, we ask for clarity in our mind and strength in our physical being, that we will overcome our shortfalls, that we may honor you in all that we do and say. We're praying for our nation as a whole, Father God, our world today. We're praying for believers, whether they're on one continent or another continent. Lord God, those that have called you their Lord and Savior and meant it from the bottom of their heart to the depth of their souls. God, we're praying for their safety. We're praying for their well-being. We're praying for believers everywhere. God, we're thanking you that you know how to use the most unusual, strange circumstances, how to bring people together, how you allow one incident of a man falling ill on national television everywhere, causing people to pray all over, and then allowed his team to do something marvelous and did it under the number three, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Even his teammate recalled that it was 3 years and 3 months ago since they've done something that well. And so, God, we thank you that you are always using things in our natural world to show us your spiritual attributes. We thank you. We pray for his family. We pray that for his recovery. And we thank you, Lord God, for using unusual circumstances to still show yourself strong. You said it in your word that you're looking for someone to show yourself strong to. Well, God, I think you did a wonderful job. Keep on showing yourself. Keep on flexing. Keep on doing what no other power can do like you do. And we thank you now. God, we bless you. We bless you. Amen. Amen. I see you, Sister Hearn. You say you can't hear, okay? Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so very much for your coming. I'm hoping it's coming through live and clear. Have my volume up. Let me know how your sound is coming through now. But, Father, we thank you right now. We bless your name. We pray, Lord God, for our families, Lord God, as we pray for our 10 most wanted. 10 most wanted, Lord God, that don't involve us directly. We lay them before you, Lord God, whether they be our parents that may not be saved, our loved ones that may not be saved, or the sickness in family members or co-workers, Lord God. We're praying for, Lord God, our government, our mayors, our city council men and women that's working in our community, for our community. We're praying for our local churches, our pastors, our leaders, our spiritual leaders, oh God, our national leaders in the natural, Lord God. We're praying for them, Lord God. Your word has said that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And so, God, we ask that you, Lord God, will begin to minister to the hearts of men and women, Lord God, everywhere. But use us, Lord God, for you said in your word that as we should pray unto you, the Lord of the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so, God, we thank you now in the name of Jesus. And so, God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Amen. And still no sound. Glory to God. Lord, help us today with mind technology that's not trying to let someone hear. Well, you're trying to listen. I know you're listening on Facebook, but if you take a moment, you can dial into the program live. And I'm going to put that number on the screen here. Dial in 424-243-9617. Dial that number and you can call in to the program and listen to us live on the air. Amen, amen. And so we thank you now. Glory to God. Thank you now.
Amen, amen.
And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, Lord God. The Bible says watch as well as pray. Amen. So while I was praying, I was still watching. So thank you now. Thank you, Debbie, for letting me know the sound wasn't coming through clear on your end. Amen. You may have to refresh your Facebook. I believe it's coming through. I can hear pretty well. Amen. It seems like others are getting it. Amen. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask as we go into this word today, that you will bring wonderful clarity. And as you bring clarity, Lord God, we say thank you. We thank you for understanding. James said, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So God, give us wisdom as we study your word on today. Amen and amen. And so much we could pray. As you know, I love praying. I thank God for the spirit of prayer. Amen. I thank God for all that he does in prayer. Amen. And so I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to just to tell God thank you, number one. Amen. 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 Brother Six, I heard your voice on there.
Yes, sir.
Ask Sister Mikhail to sign on the Facebook there and check the audio for me. And text me back on how that's coming through. Be patient with us. Amen. I'm trying different
ways. I'm right here.
Amen. How you doing? Dial in on, check the Facebook link for me and see if the audio coming through. I got a couple comments that they couldn't hear. Amen. Amen. And so we want to be, I'm going to be honest, it was Brother Charles who been pushing me for some time. I ain't going to tell you how long. Some people are slow, but they're worth waiting on. So I guess I was worth waiting on. Amen. Because he been pushing me to do Facebook Live. Amen. And so my was my equipment. And so the Lord allowed me to buy some new equipment this past year. And so that I can do what it is that I am attempting to do online. Amen. I have the line open. Amen. Okay, thank you. She called in. God bless you. So let me get a shout out to area code 901, area code 216, area code 440. Amen. Amen. And so we thank y'all for dialing in. Amen. Wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. So, and let me know how the sound is there, Sister Nikhil, once you have checked it. Brother Sid, God,
no sound.
Talk. You said no sound?
Nope.
Anybody want to talk, press the one.
Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch the live screen. Amen. I switch over the live screen from that device to this device. Are you able to hear me now, Sister Nikhil? Can you hear me loud on this one? Amen.
This is typical with Samsung products. I mean, but we're not going to hold it against you. Amen.
Yeah, don't hold it against me, because it product is the operator. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, we blame devices for what's our issue. Amen. We try to blame devices. Amen. Amen. But the problem really be is we just don't understand how to use it.
Well, that was my first dig for you for 2023.
Well, I gotta let you get it in there. I gotta let you get it in there. It's all right. I am not. It's coming through. Amen.
I hear you.
Yeah, I had to switch. So I guess it's not going to let me do it on that one. And I have to do it that way. Amen.
Yes. Coming in now.
Okay. So what I had to do is I had to switch it back like I had it last week. Amen. So that it will stay live. I thought I could put it on the phone, so maybe it didn't want to share the audio sound with the phone. We live. Amen. So, and that's why I thank God for those that have already called in and made their comments one thing or the other. So, unchanging. Title of our message tonight is Unchanging
God.
Amen. In a changing world. Amen. Amen.
Definitely
and
thank
so,
you for joining us. Like the Six Eyes Radio Network group, go join that page. And welcome to the family of the Six Eyes Radio Network for 2023. Amen. I'm complete.
All right. Amen. And that was the voice of none other than Mr. Charles Sanford, a.k.a. Six Eyes himself. Amen. And we are blessed to have him. We thank God for his vision for the Six Eyes Radio Network, where you can have quality radio 7 days a week. Amen. Here on Blog Talk. Amen. If you have iHeart app on your smart device, you can simply go to your search part and type in Six Eyes Radio and follow. And then the page that will come up first will be yesterday's message, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen. And after this program has concluded, moments later, this will be uploaded so that you may listen to it on demand. Amen. We're going to get into this, and once again, I want to say thank you. Sister Nikhil, watch the board for me, please. I won't be able to switch back and forth because it will cut off the Facebook.
Okay.
So thank you so very much. I want to share this, and I'm this type of preacher. I don't like the whole when the Lord give me something, I'll be so ready to let it go. it's been time. Me and my brother, we be talking about something, then he'll say, hey, he said, I ain't gonna tell you yet because you're gonna preach it before me. He's he said, I'm a preacher first. So I say, that's right, because if it's good, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell the first person I come to. Amen. And I just believe, we believe in that. We just believe in encouraging people whenever we have the opportunity to encourage them. And so if you could encourage somebody, amen, then do so. Don't hold it because it wasn't your original idea. A lot of times we are so quick not to share certain things because it didn't come from us. But that's just crazy. I didn't make the dollar bill, but I'm going to go get it, give me a piece of candy. Amen. We call it soda water. Some of y'all call it soda pop. I'm going to get me a Coke or something, a Sprite and a Smile or something. I'm not going to hold on to that dollar because I don't care if you gave me the dollar. Look, and I'm thirsty. I'm going to go get something with it. Amen. And so we have to learn to be like that. Just a quick thought concerning that. Can you imagine, can you picture the day that Jesus had been ministering? He goes to a well, and the disciples says to him to wait there. They go on a back to the town and get some food so that they can bring him because he had been ministering. But he's tired. They've been walking. His feet is dusty. Pastor Calhoun said he might got a rock between his toes or something, but. He still took time to talk to a Samaritan woman, which in his day and time, Samaritans and the Jews did not, outside of business, they did not mingle. They did not talk to one another because of racial discrimination. Amen. And racial discrimination then had nothing necessarily to do with your color, but it could be everything that dealt with where you came from, your belief system. And he had to overcome that. And yet he still took time to minister to a water and asking her for some water. And she's shocked because he's talking to her when his people traditionally wouldn't deal with them. And he says to her, if you knew who I was, who it was that you were talking to, you would ask me for water. And she looked him up and down and said, man, you ain't, this water, this well is deep. You ain't got nothing to draw no water with. What's in me? I'm going to ask you. And he goes into detail of what type of water he really is. He said, the water that I have and the water that you're going to get out of this well are two different waters. What you're going to get from this well, you're going to be back to this well again to get. But in me is a everlasting well that when you drink from me, you'll never have to come to a well again. In other words, what I'm going to pour in you, you're not going to have to look for nobody else to pour into you like this. Because I am the well of life. The water that I'm going to give you is going to give you life. And he tells her about her circumstance, her situation. And the Bible says she immediately left everything there and ran to the city, telling the people who have been probably talking about her, under their breath and behind her back, come see a man that told me everything that I did. So the scripture don't tell us all the business. So preachers, we got to take a clue there. We don't tell the people all their business. Amen. Amen. But when you're talking to them one-on-one, you tell them what God gave you to tell. And he told her just enough to encourage her to go and share with others. And the Bible said nearly the whole city came out to hear. And he began to minister to them where their testimony was, we believe in him not because of what you just said, because of what he just did. Still hungry, still tired, but yet he still gave her what she needed. What if we'll put aside our desires, our needs for a moment to meet the need of one person who may cause the masses to come? So the devil, I may be hungry right now, but if it's feeding you, you may go out and tell your whole family, come hear a sermon. It may save everyone in your family, all because somebody stopped long enough to take time long enough to minister where you at. And that's how we have to be today. Amen. And that's going to take me back to yesterday's sermon, so let me stop right there, because that's some good cooking. Ain't nothing like some good leftover meal, because it's sure enough seasoned then. Especially that old good time cooking. Amen, somebody. Amen. So if you have your Bible, and once again, God bless all our listeners on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you and thank you for dialing in or tuning in here live on Facebook. Amen. I pray that what you hear today will bless you and encourage you. Amen. And we're going to walk with this. So open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 46. Go there first. And we're going to read a many things. Amen. And so I want you to follow along with me as best as you can in your Bibles. Amen. And we're going to do our very best to share with you how God shared this with me. Amen. And time may not permit for me to get it all in, because this is really one of those messages and teachings that really should be series. Amen. But I pray that you receive it in your heart. So I got a question. God or the world? God or the world? That's the question today. This seems to be the question of our day. Today, people trust the words of others more so than the words of God. It's amazing. It used to be a time that the preacher can say something, and you'll take what he said, because he said it from the word of God, and you'll believe it. But nowadays, we have people that are going on social media, and they're listening to who they are, quote-unquote, following at that time, and they're listening to them, and they're listening to them, and they may be talking about something totally different than what God is talking about. It's amazing how the church used to tell a woman to obey her husband, to honor her husband. Most marriage vows today outside of a Christian environment remove that obey, let you come up with your own vows, your own commitment. It's amazing how people do things today that's far different from the way God has said. And then when trouble happens, We go and cry to God. God, I thought you were going to do this. God, I thought you wasn't going to let me down. God, you said you're not. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. You didn't add God to the marriage in the beginning, and now you want him to come fix what you done jacked up. Yeah, I know you don't like that, but I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on in and out. We're going to keep on moving. So our world is changing all the time. It's amazing what used to be illegal is now becoming legal. Amen. All because certain people have gotten in office. It's amazing how over the world some people was only in politics only so that they can change, not for the better, but for their agenda. Amen. I'm going to say it again, to change not for the better, but for their agenda. The many people that have been talking about change. The Bible defines a marriage, period, between one man and one woman. And it was established by Adam, who was given authority over the whole world. For this cause shall a man leave both mother and father and cleave to his own wife. Nowadays, we say that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. That is not a marriage. It may be a union. It may be a joining, but that's not marriage. Today, I told you, you know, there's no more blue. Blue is now the new red. You're going to say, wait a minute, Doc, who gave you the authority to change the names of the colors? Blue is blue. Red is red. Yellow is yellow. Well, you're not going to let nobody come and change what had already been established long before we were thought of or was a twinkle in our parents' eyes. Amen, somebody. And so here it is. We have allowed governments to come in. Amen. Talking about things changing. Our world is changing all around us. So governments are changing. Policies of government are changing. The their exchange rate, that's the exchange rate of money from one money culture to another money culture. It's changing. Now you got stocks and bonds and you got currencies, cryptocurrency. All our world is changing all around us. Fashion everywhere is changing. You know, once upon a time, women, whether they were confessed Christians or not, believed in wearing a skirt. Now some women won't even put on a skirt. And I ain't saying that in a judgment way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging no one. If you're a woman and you prefer to wear pants, long as they are pants that are designed for women. Because there's some women pants that if I saw a brother in, I'm going to wonder about that brother. Amen, somebody. So we have fashion all around the world changing. I remember once upon a time, they used to tease you for having hot water. Now, hot water, that means your pants, hem was above your ankle. And then you got another group that they'll wear them above their ankle so they can show off their socks. Now you got them wearing above their ankle, and they don't have on those socks. The times of our life are constantly changing. The foods, the kinds of food that we eat is constantly changing. Once upon a time, they told you you need to eat wheat bread instead of white bread, and there was a big thing about it. Then they said, well, wheat ain't that good for you. And before you know it, everything they were telling you that was good for you, now it ain't good for you. And now you got to do this. Now you got to do that. Our world is constantly changing. Even our medical equipment, as times have changed. It used to be a time the doctor would come and do house call visits. Amen. Nowadays, then it was a time you had to make appointment to see a doctor. They done kind of gotten back around to it. Now you can call a doctor on the internet now and have face conversations with the doctor. He ain't got to be in the room with you to look at you and to give you a simple diagnosis. Amen. All kinds of things are changing around us. Buildings are changing. Designs of homes are changing. Our cars are changing. We're moving into an era where cars are being electric now. Amen. Amen. So we're seeing change all around us. But you know what hasn't changed? God. That's right. God has not changed. No matter what's changing around us, God is the same God today, today, and forever. The prophet Isaiah in the book of in the 45th, 6th verse of Isaiah, Isaiah 46. Let me turn to it real quick here. Isaiah chapter 46. Amen. And 10th verse. And I'm pulling it up on different things because I was reading. I read this verse in many different translations. One of the ones that encouraged me the most was the Amplified. And I'm going to read that in just a moment. The Amplified and the New Living. And so in the New Living, we see it says, God makes this decree. He said, only I can tell you the future before even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Not wish like we talk about wishing, where we're hoping and praying and thinking about some magical chance. No, no. Wish is his will. He do whatever he will. He do whatever he purpose. And again, our emphasis this month is on purpose. Amen. And so he says, I do whatever I purpose. The Amplified reads that. He says, declaring the end and the results from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that please me and fulfill my purpose. So God is speaking to us. So we ask the Lord, have your way in this message on today, Father. Bless this understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Going back to our King James, and I'm going to back up a few verses here in this same chapter 46. I'm going to read this for your hearing. Isaiah 46, verse number 3.
Good evening, Pastor Bonnet.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you for coming on the line.
Mute the mic. Mute the mic.
God bless.
He's in his mess right now. Thank you.
Amen. And so, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Here's what Isaiah tells them that God is saying. He's saying, hearken, that means to listen. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. Remember earlier he told Isaiah, before I spoke in the belly, I knew thee. And so here he is, he's coming again and saying to the people, which were born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to the old age, I am he, and even to the hoar hairs them gray hairs or them white hairs. Amen. Hey, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. In other words, he said, I have said it, I meant it, I'm going to do it. Verse 5 says, to whom will you liken me? Whom will you liken me to? It's amazing now. And you look around at some of these different people. Well, I think that, you know, I'm a spiritual person too. Let me clear the air on all those of you that says that you are a spiritual person. We all are spiritual beings. Amen. Our living souls, because we have the breath of God on the inside. All of us are spirit beings. So to say that you are spiritual only makes me say, of what kind of spirit? Because spirits are transferable. Y'all saw Rocky. Y'all saw all the programs. They say he has the spirit of a lion. Sometimes kids grow up and they say, "Ooh, you mind me of your great granddaddy. Ooh, you got his spirit." Here it is, God, who is also spirit. He said, whom? Singular. At what individual can we liken him to and make him equal to or make them equal to him? See, when you begin to listen to people more so than the word of God and you allow the words of man to supersede what God has said, if being gay was an abomination to God, those men that have sex with other men was an abomination, you ordaining a bishop or a minister or anybody in the work of God, you are saying that God's word has changed, and it has not. If it was an abomination to him then, it is an abomination to him now. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you, but what it does mean that if you're going to obey him, you're going to have to change your ways. Amen, somebody. Whether you like it or not, the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. And let me take it a little bit further. When you contradict God's law with an abomination, you're not following him. And to say that you are following him, then you are a liar. And I read it in my Bible. I know it's there. I challenge you to find it. It says every liar. How many liars? Every liar shall have their part in the lake of fire. Wow. That's almost like jumping straight past hell and jumping to the final death. So every liar, all liars, amen, to death. So that almost contradicts those that says they say, but you lie on the word of God. You tell people there are exceptions because of grace. There's no exception to the abomination. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you were gay, if you was a homosexual, if you was a homemonger, if you was a liar, if you was a murderer, that what you was, we all before Christ are ex something. And if you say that you are not an ex-something, that means you are a current something. Start with that part, lie. You're. Let me come on, read. Let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. Leave that alone, preacher. Read the text. Verse 5 says, to whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like. They lavish gold out of a bag and weigh the silver in a balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a golden, maketh it a gold that fall down, yea, they that work. Wait a minute. If you go and pay somebody to take your precious gold or silver, to melt it down, to shape it, to fashion it, amen, to fashion it according to an image, then you put that image in a place that it can't move no more, and then you pray for it to move for you. What kind of sense does that make? Amen, somebody. They say they bear it up upon their shoulders. They carry him. They set him in his place, and he standeth from this place. Shall he not remove? Yea, one shall carry. One shall cry, unto him, yet can he not answer. Praying to people that can't answer or things that can't answer your prayer because they can't even hear your prayers. Nor save him out of his trouble. Verse 8. Remember this and show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So here God is establishing something for us. I am God, and there's none like me. And so he gives us a glimmer of his description. He said, I'm the one declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Verse 11, calling a raven's bird from the east, and the man that excuses my counsel from the far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass, for I have purposed it. I will also do it. I want to read that for you in the New Living Translation, that verse from verse 11 through. Verse 11 again. Well, I'm going to add 10 in this 10 through 13, and we're done with this part of the reading. He said, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I will do, and I will do it. Listen to me, ye stubborn people. Sound like today. Sound like he's talking to us in 2023. For I am ready to set things right, not in distant future, but right now. God want to put your life in order right now. He's not talking about 2, 5, 6 years from now. God wants to deliver you right now. If you got a drug habit, God wants to deliver you right now. If you got a drinking habit, God want to deliver you right now. If you got a lying habit, God wants to deliver you right now. If you have whatever can't help it, heal you now. Amen, somebody. God wants to help us now because it is now when he's working in our lives. He says here, once again, verse 13, for I am ready to set things right. See, no matter how much this world is changing, God desires to set things right for us. Not in the distant future, but right now. He says, I am ready to save Jerusalem and show my glory to Israel. King James says, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation back for Israel, my glory. Wow. God truly wants to bless us. When? Right now. Isaiah 48 and 3, he says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. One thing about God, if he said it, that settles it. Amen. Thank you. If God said it, that settles it. The problem is we don't believe God no more. The reason why our churches don't have strength, amen, like they used to have is because we, amen, don't have faith. Listen to what happened one time when Jesus went back to his hometown, Jerusalem. He went back to his hometown, and the Bible says that not many great works did he do there. Why? Because they kept looking at him as Yahshua and not the Messiah. They kept looking at him as Jesus. That ain't that the carpenter's son? Ain't that married little boy? Who is he thinking he is now? Now go build me a table. Make me a door for my back door here. We're trying to put some shuttles up for these windows. Man, go. They trying to put in the work in the carpentry field. But he was working on their soul. But they couldn't get their blessings, their healings, their deliverance. The Bible says because of their unbelief. Yes, our times are changing. True. But could it be that our faith has changed from God to the world? It's amazing how in the hype of pandemic, people started looking for stimulus checks instead of trusting God to help them pay their bills. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's right whether we like it or not. Amen. People started depending on stimulus checks instead of going to work. It used to be a time we would all say, whether you were saved or not saved, you say, if a man don't work, you ought not to eat. And we said out now. We said, don't eat. Yeah, we say it like this. If a man don't work, he shouldn't. He can't eat. Because we knew that having a full belly meant going to work. Putting your time in, mister. You want to sit up and live off of her. And ain't nothing wrong with your two legs. Amen. Something wrong with our time. Amen. But we're in a time where people are not believing God, because those that believe God believe other systems. Talking to you about God will talk to you about other systems. Now, I'm so thankful that my Jacksonville Jaguars made it. They won their division. They're in the playoffs. Amen. To God be the glory. That's a wonderful thing. But it's amazing how us men, I'm talking to the men for a moment. It's amazing how we never met our quarterback, our running back that we favor, whomever they may be. But we'll boldly and proudly wear their shirt with their name on it and their number on it. And we'll argue with you down in the barbershop on the corner at work about your team ain't this and that, and my team is this and that. And we'll do it proudly. But when it comes down to conversations of godliness, holiness, all of a sudden, oh, man, we at work, man. This ain't church. Well, it ain't the football field neither, mister. But we still talk about it. And so it's amazing how we switch the channel. We're quickly jump on our team bandwagon. But we don't do the same for the Lord. And we wonder why miracles don't happen. Some people don't believe miracles today. Amen. Some people are not holding on to miracles today or healing today. There's affirmations of faith that teaches that healing, miracle healing, was for that day and time when Jesus and the disciples who was with him was able to do it because they was with him. But those times are past. I say to them, they ain't read their Bible. Because although Jesus was the greatest miracle worker of all, but miracles have been happening from Genesis on through Revelation. And they're still happening today. How do I know? Because I've been in the midst of them. I've been the product of a miracle. Hands have been laid on me. Prayers have been prayed on me. And healing took place in my body. Then I demonstrated that same authority, that same power myself by laying hands on others that were healed, praying for others that was healed. My very own aunt had lost her sight in a sickness, and we began to pray right on the radio, on the program. Brother Six, you might remember this. She got on testifying. My mama called in and said, thank you for the prayers. And she got in and said, thank you all for praying for me. I can see again.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we are seeing miracles happen. We have seen God work miracles and wonders for people, open doors that no one was able to open. Amen, somebody. We got to know God back where he belonged, and that's first, because he changed not. God is immutable. Amen. Now, I can't change the screen. I forgot to put this part in my notes, so I'm going to have to give you my definition of immutable. Immutable is a non-changing. Immutable is something, he is mutable. It is something that does not change. The word character, let me slow down here and explain something. The letter A in our English language is always the first letter, and it has its same shape. If it's a capital letter, it's two lines coming together, pointing at an angle with a little line in between that connects them. That's that A. But if you take and just draw one line with two half circles, it'll form a B. And it doesn't matter how long history changed. The character A will forever be A. It can never be B. And going in reverse, B, as good as it is, because it starts with my name, Bonnie, it can never be the first letter A, even if you try to do away with the letter A. It will always be B. And the sounds of them may sound different in different dialects of languages, but A will still be A, B will still be B. They do not change. Ever change. Our language barrier will instantly collapse. Our culture, our everything. So it is an immutable fact that characters must remain the same in order for or to stay on top, chaos not rule. God himself is unchanging character. He is immutable, meaning he cannot lie. If he said that he would do it, truly it's already done. Because we read he tells the end before the beginning begins. Y'all know I love to tell you Jeremiah 29:11, I know my thoughts towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Now, when evil things happen to you, they wasn't by the will of God, but it was in his plan to give you victory over the evil. So he told you that my will is to give you a hope and a future, to give you an expected end. Amen. So that when evil comes your way, you don't give in to the evil deed, because you know he has a promise. And because he's immutable, you know two things that God can't do. What are the two things that make God immutable? Number one, God's promise and God's oath. These two things make him immutable because they change not. His promise is his word. He said he put his word above his name. And if he said it, that settles it. There are some things that God put. And where we confuse the issue is we forget that he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. But we'll start praying and we'll start telling people this, that, and the other, but we didn't humble ourselves. We didn't seek his face. In other words, we didn't seek his will. We told him our will. We told him what we wanted him to do, but we never inquire of him what he wanted us to do, how he wanted us to behave. And because we didn't do these things, we missed out on what God was doing for us because we wanted to do our will instead of doing his. And then we think God changed. No. If God said it, that settles it. We have to remember there are things that God has set in stone that are if and then concepts. That means if we do our part, then he releases what he has for us. But if we don't do our part, then we can't have what he has for us. That's why this scripture is so important. And we quote it all the time from the New Testament, John 3:16. Many of us quote it and say it. But I'm going to quote it from the King James and not any other version. I want you to hear it. For God so loved the world. It didn't mean he loved the world, the system of sin. It's talking about the people. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not. It's very important that we don't dismiss this should not perish. Say would not perish. It said should not perish, but have everlasting life. You should not if you receive. You should not if you believe. You should not if you get it for your oneself. But if you don't, then you will. I don't have to preach condemnation to you. We were already condemned. And only through his word can we receive salvation. Hebrews 6:17-19 in the King James says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. To whom? The heirs of promise, immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, which is, it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set for us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Now that anchor is not a lock. An anchor is only as good as it has been let down to touch the bottom to hold you from drifting. Amen. The whole purpose of having an anchor is because the current will move you the way it wants to move you. But when you are anchored, then you are grounded. And that's why it's so important to read the Bible for yourself, to be a part of a Bible-believing ministry. So important to get this for your own oneself so that you're anchored and not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Because there are some things that sound good. The Bible talks about there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends are the means of death. We got to be careful. So he says, verse 19 again, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure to steadfast and which entires unto the within the veil. Brother preacher, what that mean? Well, let me go to another translation for those of you that are having a little difficult. That's why I love using the New Living Translation to help bring understanding so the preacher don't have to explain every little thing. Sometimes just look at these other translations to help you come to a clarity Amen. And that's why I love switching from one translation of scripture to another to help us to have the right understanding. So Hebrews chapter 6, amen, verse 9, it says, this is a, let me read both 18 and 19 for clarity's sake. Let me go back up. It says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These are immutable things. God promise and God oath, they change not. Amen. God bless your prophetess young. Amen. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable. Unchangeable. If God said it, stand on it. Don't move. I don't care what it looks like. If God has made a promise and you have that scripture before you, when you petition God in prayer, you put his word on it. Not your tears, not your deep speaking, but you put the word on it. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Verse 19, strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. It leads us through the certainty unto God's inner sanctuary. Verse 20, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He's already done it. The work is already done. Amen, somebody. We're still there in Hebrews. Turn with me, Hebrews chapter 13. Amen. And I think that's all we're going to have time for today. Chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus has already entered in for us, and he is our high priest. Chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What? That sounds almost, Brother Bonnet, that sounds like Malachi 3 and 6. Well, I don't know. Let me go and look. Malachi 3 and 6. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Wow. We are not destroyed because God has promised some things to our ancestors. So we didn't make it here on our own. There are some prayers that went up before us. And because God honored the prayers of our grandmama and them who prayed that he would save her family, granddaddy who took time to minister and take us to Sunday school, God honored their prayers. There are children today that are wayward, and they're getting by on things, but they don't understand that they're living on borrowed time. We have to choose God while it's today. The world is forever changing, but what is not changing is God's word. God is the same God yesterday and forever. And he loves us. His love is not changing. But just because he loves us don't mean he won't punish us, and it doesn't mean he won't send others to hell. There's a religious group that do not believe that a loving God will send anybody to hell. He's not sending you to hell. Your judgment have already condemned you to hell. And he's giving you a key to get out of that sentence. But I found this to be true, that a presidential pardon gives a person that was on death row. Doesn't matter what the crime is, but the inmate, that death row inmate, the person on death row, do not have to accept the pardon. And if they don't pardon, it doesn't matter how well it was written. It don't matter when it was signed. When it comes to the point of execution time and they have not accepted it, they will be put to death. The wages of sin is death, period. There's a price for sin. But the gift, nothing that we can earn, the gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift that God has for us is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Beloved brothers and sisters, I pray that you would choose to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Romans 10 tells us that if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is by believing in our heart that we are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring our faith that we are saved. Openly. That means there's no such thing as a private Christian. No such thing. We must openly declare that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and believe that he paid the price for our sins. And they are paid in full so that we may live a sinless life. I want to thank you, Facebook. I'm going to close out with you, Facebook, as I continue with my online audience. Once again, to those of you that are on the line today, thank you so very much for tuning in. It has been a blessing. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Amen. God bless you. Like us. And we'll be back next Monday again at the same time. God bless you. Have a wonderful night, my Facebook friends. Amen. Amen. All right. To all of you there on the Six Eyes Radio Network, God bless you. Brother Six, are you still with
me? Yes. Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Amen. Well, my brother, had several people there. It looked like I got about 3 drop calls. Okay. Amen. We're Facebook Live now. So, how did you enjoy the service?
Very much. Very much so. Just stay a course, purpose. Putting forth the purpose and know why you're doing it.
Amen.
So it's set out there. We just got to follow it. And you wouldn't start a meal and not finish eating it. So we got to finish it.
Amen. Hold on. I think that was Wolfgang. Oh, no, that wasn't Wolfgang. Wolfgang,
yeah, I'm
there?
Still here.
All right. I'm making sure I got y'all unlocked here.
Hello, Ken Wolfgang.
Yeah. Well, you could think of it as a takeaway. You were talking about people that they're willing to talk about football or whatever, but when it comes to talking about God, they kind of want to be secret Christians. Well, that wasn't never me. In fact, I got to give this little testimony. This one other preacher friend, he lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was a Navy guy. He kind of gave me a challenge. He says, if you had a chance to come over here to Virginia Beach, would you preach along this beach area where they have these like high-rise buildings similar to what Six lives in? They have what they call the boardwalk there. It's where you only can walk along this. It's like a street, but it's nothing but for walking, or you could like rollerblade or roller skate or skateboard, but that's the only thing you're allowed to do on that. He said, would you like to do some street preaching? I said, you get me there, I have no problem doing some street preaching. And so he sent me and my wife a ticket out there to Virginia Beach, and then he took my wife and his wife were visiting back at the house. He took me out there, drove me out there to this boardwalk, and I started at one end, and I walked down to the other end and kept going back and forth for over 3 hours preaching.
Amen.
No megaphone, no amplification system, just my voice, and I was bouncing off the top floors of these buildings preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And when I got done with him, after we got done, and he went back to his apartment, I says, well, you want to try daring me again?
Amen.
I said, when I was called to preach, I was called to preach. I wasn't called to hide, son.
That's
I said,
right.
When I was called to preach, hey, you ain't going to find me hiding under a corner somewhere. Hey, if I have to preach to the squirrels, I'll preach to the squirrels.
Amen. Y'all heard me tell that little story before, that a man was actually preaching to a cockroach that was in the middle of the street. He was a preacher that was walking home one night, and it was dark where he was walking down. The street was empty. And the Holy Spirit told him, I need you to preach. And he said, I am preaching. He said, no, preach now. He said, Lord, there's no one here to me preach for. He said, I said, preach now. Preach the gospel now. And it didn't make sense to him, but because the way he felt, the unction of the Holy Spirit leading him, he went ahead and obeyed, and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving grace. And he was preaching, and he began to look down at what seemingly to be a cockroach that would not move in the middle of the street. And he was preaching to it as if he could save the cockroach. And about the end of him doing what he was doing and saying what he was saying, two men came out of the alleyway from behind some garbage cans, crying to him, saying, what must we do to truly be saved? We had intended to rob you and to take you for everything you got. One had a weapon and said, I was ready to shoot you dead. But after hearing that, I want to be saved. And sometimes you don't know why God has called you to preach. And we can't be shy about when he say do it. When the words say be instant, it means just that. it means just that. All right. Amen. Thank everyone. I see a lot of people on the line. I heard you earlier, Sister Emily, when you spoke to me. Let's be mindful when we're on, especially on the air. I don't mind y'all always greeting me. I try to give y'all opportunity in the beginning so that we will be able to converse and talk freely, because I like socializing with all of you, because we're so distant from one another. It's not like I can just go next door and talk to you. And so it's always good to hear, but we do have to be mindful that as we grow in this new year, we don't want people to think that we're just doing things out of order. And so I love you, and we just want to put our best foot forward, do our best together as a team, as a fellowship, in reaching others for the gospel truth. I love times like this because Blog Talk is still recording. And so those that are listening or that will be listening later to the recording, if they listen all the way to the end, they're going to hear this part. And but we want them to be encouraged that, you know, just because you're saved don't mean you don't make mistakes. We're human. We're not so super spiritual that we're no earthly good. Now we're regular folks, regular people, feelings, emotion, and we get excited. Amen. We don't mean no disrespect to one another. We love one another, and we love them. And we just want to continue to do all we can do to share with others the love that we have for our Lord and Savior. And that's that, you know. Amen.
But
I had a question. I had a question before you jump on that. I asked you all yesterday to hold, because I didn't get takeaways from you all yesterday other than, I think, maybe six, or was it?
Pastor Bonnie. It was me.
Yeah. It was just Wolfgang gave a takeaway yesterday, and I said for everyone else that if you join in tomorrow, share your takeaway from yesterday's sermon. Because I want to see who held on to something from yesterday. I know it's very easy to gravitate to what was given tonight. But do anybody have, other than the preacher, Missionary Ken, because I know he got it, other than him, or before he speaks, anybody else still remember something that was discussed in the message on yesterday?
Oh, I kept on saying the whole time you were preaching yesterday, Pastor Bonnet, and I kept on going, ouch.
Well, you know, Missionary Ken, he can testify to this. It's no good being blind, walking through the house saying, ouch, 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 if you don't remember where everything is so you can stop saying ouch. Then you got to remember.
I felt like you were throwing bricks from down your way, being a meanhead.
A message for all of us. I remember any time a preacher preach a word, he got it first. So it was to him first. Amen. But okay, no one spoke. Ken, if you got something to say, you're welcome to say it.
Nah, I figure I said it yesterday, so I'll leave it from yesterday. They could go back and listen to yesterday's and get it.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
But I do want to remind them about my birthday challenge,
that's
if I
right.
may.
Okay. That's right. Missionary Ken's birthday is coming up. And
this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we will be celebrating Missionary Ken. 52nd birthday, and the challenge is for those that would join him in sowing a $52 seed into the ministry that he has. We gave that information earlier. We're going to let him give it again so that he may continue to do the ministry work that he's doing, and that's what the whole purpose of me letting it go forward in the beginning, but he's
well,
coming
actually,
again.
We've been sending the birthday donations through Six's.
Oh, that's right.
Cash App.
That's right.
And so,
that's right. You're
but,
right.
The challenge is now if a person is unable to give a dollar and meet what I've already put in for my own birthday, I put in a dollar per year. But if you're unable to do that, I challenge you to try for a quarter per year. That would be only $13, or 50 cents per year would put you at $26, or 75 cents would be $39. So
oh, man.
I challenge you one of those ways, unless you think and believe the Lord is leading you to match me for the 52.
Amen. Amen.
So Six could give the donation information. And like he said, all you do is put on the message line that it's for the birthday.
All right.
Yes. So if people like to help Ken in this celebration of matching his years around the sun, 52, you have an option to go to PayPal. Excuse me. You have an option to go to Cash App. And that would be $SIXEYES. The digit 2, the digit 4. Once again, $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in the memo, just put Ken's birthday. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I sent my gift, I think, yesterday. Yeah, I think I sent it. Sure. Get that. You did get money from me yesterday, yes? Yes, you did.
Oh. I didn't check it. I'll have to look.
Yes, I did send something. Okay. Just making sure. I believe in something. Yeah, I believe in someone.
Okay.
I believe in. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I am a giver. I stand on all the principles of God concerning blessing, because He said it. The Word said He loved a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one right there. A cheerful giver. So sometimes people give, and it's amazing. You can give what they ask, but give it reluctantly or grudgingly. They always asking for money. Man, I'm so tired of getting. And you have just thrown your seed on stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the harvest that you should have received from your giving, you won't receive it. Don't mean you won't receive other things. But that harvest, you messed up. And mm-hmm. so many times we mess up a harvest. And not just in financial things, but your talent, your treasure, your time, your gifting. These things matter in the eyes of God. And so so he said he blessed a cheerful giver. Tonight we spent 2 hours in ministry. If I would have done it reluctantly or grudgingly, you all would have gotten a message or a word or a teaching, but I would lose my reward from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always best for us to do it the way God told us to do it, so that we can receive the maximum benefit that he has for us. I'm looking for God to do some wonderful things this year. Amen. I'm needing God to open some doors. Amen. Brother Six said they sent for him and his wife down to Virginia Beach. Amen. And you know, y'all can send for me. Amen. And God can open up the door where I can come, because y'all paid the fare.
You meant missionary.
Amen. So, amen. So God bless you. God keep you. I heard you, Sister Nikhil, what you were trying to say.
You said Brother Six, but I think you meant Missionary Ken.
Yes,
they
right.
sent for him to come down to Virginia Beach, him and his wife.
That's right. Yeah, because Six don't have no wife. Six don't have no wife. I mean, unless you count that Apple phone he got, you know. Yes. You know, he stands faithful by that phone. So, you know, I mean, that's the love of his life right now. So,
yeah.
If only Siri could cook for him, he'd probably be a happy man.
Oh, Lord.
But since Siri don't know how to cook.
Well, you'll have to do on one of these shows, Pastor Bonnet, maybe on the Sunday show or the Monday show, you'll have to marry Six to his phone.
Amen. All right.
I ain't gonna do it, Six. Thank earlier you. In my message that God said a marriage is between one man and one woman. So since the phone cannot be classified as a woman, you may call a Siri, but that's just a voice.
Amen. Now I need you to do me a favor, being that you're a praying man. As I always do, I ask to pray for mankind. That's all the world, because it's like 7 billion people in the world. Somebody's being born right now. But just with all the craziness going on in the world, I ask that you pray for that. I ask you pray for my family, my friends, my fans, your family, your friends, your fans. So do that for me. Also, Mama Tyler, continue to keep her in prayer. Also, my radio colleagues, Youssef. And Mary, Mary had very major surgery today. And Brother Youssef was diagnosed with cancer. So we want to pray for him, pray for Mary, because she's battling cancer as well, my radio colleagues. Also, Mama Tyler, continue to pray for her. Like I said, my family, my friends, my fans, myself, praying for me. Keep my body as buff as it is. It takes a lot to get a body like this.
Yeah. Then, all right.
You know, so you know, thank God for that.
Yeah, man. God is working.
Yes, and and the football player for the I believe the Buffalo Bills.
I prayed for him early.
He came out of his coma, and there's a caption going around on Facebook, and it said, "Did we win?" So they said, "Yes, you won the game of life." So that caption is going around. I'm glad that he's up and about, 24 years old, and he won the game. His team won the game yesterday, but the ultimate winner, he won the game of life with a second chance coming out of that coma. So this from the Six Eyes Radio Network, just continued speedy recovery. And once again, my family, your friends, my fans, all our families, keep us all healthy, keep us strong. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had prayed for him earlier. Matter of fact, he was the example I was talking about. His teammate, the opening kickoff, did a return, 96-yard return. And the last time that was done was 3 years and 3 months ago. And he is the number three, and, you know, number three represent the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so all of this is happening in the eyes of the world, and God is getting glory because it's causing people to be conscious of God, whether they actually serve God or not. They are conscious of his presence, because everyone is relating to this event and what has transpired here. So it's definitely a move of God. And so I will continue to pray for all mankind, as you have stated earlier. We're always praying for the body of Christ. Amen. We pray for mankind as a whole. We pray for peace to happen within mankind. And we pray for deliverance and salvation of mankind. But we pray for strength in the body of Christ. Amen. Because it's in the body of Christ we have the strength to gather those that are broken, those that are misguided, misled, those that have been left hopeless. Pray for the strength of the body of Christ. That's all believers, if well, regardless of their denomination, those that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And this is our prayer, our constant prayer. And we believe God to do these things through our helping hands, because we have willing, able bodies, and there is something God can do through us. And so we pray that we are encouraged and have boldness to do what he has for us to do, that he may continue to use us the way he desires to make change in this world. God is only changing in us, but he is the same God today, and forever. So we thank God for his change in us. Like I said, the message tonight has so much more that goes along with it. It is that one of those series-type messages, because I really only touch what I consider the surface of that concept or thought. And so we're praying that God will be done on earth as his will is also being done in heaven. Amen. Because God is able. Amen. He is able. Just like Kirk Franklin says, he's able. God is able. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. And so long as we know in our heart that God is able to do, beyond what I can think or even imagine. Let me just pray that he do what he does and that makes ways out of no way. Bring understanding to that which is not understood, and that he strengthen us to do our part. And this is our prayer. This is our prayer as a people. This is my prayer as a minister. And this is the prayer of faith that I believe that your kingdom is yet to come. Better days are before us, and the worst is yet behind. Don't mean we won't have no bad things, but because we are born again believers, our best days are still before us. Our worst days are definitely behind us. So help us, Father God, to press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And as you do it, God, we'll be mindful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the showing of praise. And as we depart from this program tonight, we thank you for the listeners. We thank you for this time. And we ask that you bless us. If we sleep well tonight, if we get our rest, if we prepare for work, as we prepare to do that which you have for us to do, we thank you for our labor. Amen and amen. May God bless you and keep you all. I love you with the love of Christ. And until next time, may God keep you. May God bless you. And be encouraged. You are greater than you realize, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Good night, America. Good night, our radio team. From the 6 Hours Radio Network, have a blessed night. Good night, world, and we will catch you tomorrow on the 6 Hours Radio Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Gruber. Good night.
Good night.